Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode of Believe is brought to you by Cryptid Coffee Co. Use promo code BELIEVE on checkout for 10% off their Angry Yowie coffee blend. Head over to cryptid.com.au to check them out.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling, I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get is a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Cade Moyer, and you are listening to the Believe Paranormal and UFO Podcast. If you have had an encounter and would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. If you enjoy the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or review wherever you listen and head on over to our website, believepod.com, and consider becoming a member to get bonus episodes and video content. So, Joseph, where did this all really start for you?
Well, the main one was around 1996 and the July school holidays. My father used to always take my brother and myself up to my grandfather's place, which was on Southern York Peninsula in South Australia. And he had a little beach house right on the beach, so you'd like ride on the beach, and you could see the whole sea, and you had like almost like a 180 view of the sea. Then it sort of into like a bit of a sweeping bay, and you could, you know, see the whole lot sort of out through there. So one morning we were like all sitting out the front. It must have been about 10 or 11 o'clock, and there was myself, my father, my brother, my grandfather, my grandfather's mate, Peter. And it was like light raining. There was a little bit of mist and that sort of stuff, and a bit of a swell, some waves coming in from out from sea. So we're sitting out the front. We had a little fire going, and we're all chatting and having a bit of a joke. And there were these dolphins, and they're like pretty much straight out the front, a little bit to the left, and they were like playing on the waves, so they were jumping out the water and they were surfing on the waves. So we're watching them and chatting about them, and then I looked to my left, and it looked into like this sort of bay. So for the ships or boats to come in this bay, they basically have to come past us, and we would see them. And as I looked in the bay, there was a very light mist, a little bit drizzly, and I could see this ship like very clear, and it had two really big masts on it, and then a smaller mast, and then it was sort of a very sleeker sort of looking ship, but it did look quite old. And I said to my grandfather and my dad, I'm like, oh, look at that old ship. I haven't seen this ship come past. And we all looked at it, and my grandfather, he actually said, wow, I haven't seen a ship like that for a long time, like not around here anyway. And we watched it a little bit more, and just sort of commented on it, and had no sails up or anything. It just looked like it was just moored there, just anchored offshore in the little bay. And anyway, my brother, he turned around. He said, oh, look, the dolphins are surfing back on the waves. So we turned back and we were watching the dolphins and they were playing and jumping around. So we were watching them for a few minutes, having a bit of a chat. And I looked back at the ship and it was totally gone. And I said, oh, where did the ship go? And we all turned back and my grandfather's like, oh, wow, like that's just vanished. It's completely gone. Like we didn't even see it set sail or anything. It was just gone. And my grandfather, he's like, oh, wow, like that's the Flying Dutchman. He nicknamed it Flying Dutchman and, you know, he told us a bit of a story about that. And then we're like, oh, you know, okay, you know. So later on that day, we sort of talked about it a bit more and, you know, didn't really think too much of it. Anyway, later on that day, myself and my grandfather were walking down. So there's a big row of shacks or beach houses right on the beach. So we went down about two houses down to see one of my grandfather's friends, Beryl. And she had this place right on the beach, like my grandfather, some big windows. And she used to sit inside and she used to knit and do crosswords and look out the window, look over the sea. And as we walked past, he's like, oh, hello, Beryl. And she's like, oh, hey. And then my grandfather, as a joke, said, oh, did you see the Flying Dutchman this morning? And she stopped and she like froze. Oh, she did. And she looked at my grandfather and looked at me and said, did you see that too? And like, we sort of like a bit stunned. We're like, yeah. And she goes, oh, I was sitting here and I seen a real light mist come in and the ship seemed to like appear in the mist. And she goes, I watched it for about five minutes or so. And then she said, it just vanished. He said, it vanished in front of my eyes. And my grandfather's like, oh, really? And she's like, yeah. She goes, that's the second time I've seen that ship. And my grandfather's like, oh, wow. Like, where else had you seen that ship? And she said, oh, down in the bay that we call Shag Rock. And we call it Shag Rock because the cormorants, we call them shags, and they sit on the rocks. So we called it there. And that's about 2 km down from where we were. And she said about a year ago, I think it was, she'd gone down there with a friend. And they'd parked the car, then they're walking along the sand dunes. And that overlooked another type of bay. And she said the tide was right up. And she could see this ship exactly moored in there, just moored, no sails up. And she reckoned she could see it so clearly, she could see the rust on the portholes. And, yeah, and so her and her friend, they wanted to get a closer look. So they thought, oh, we'll go down the side, the sand dunes, and get down on the beach and try and get a bit closer to it. So she reckons they walked down the side of the sand dunes, and by the time they got on the beach, which would have probably only been a couple of minutes, it was gone, like completely gone. And, that just freaked us out. My grandfather was like, oh, wow, really? And like, yeah, like. To, you know, and we always talk about it, and even me and my brother, we even talk about it now. But yeah, that was the ghost ship we saw.
Have you ever seen that since?
No, I've never seen it since, and I don't really know anyone else that has either. Not like I've really, yeah, like the shack was only sold about 2 years ago, but we didn't really get down there quite much because it was getting rented out, and there's a bit of a, you know, but. Yeah. So,
did anything bad happen after you saw the Flying Dutchman? And I'm going to probably ask you this question again later on, but just so I can kind of see if anything did.
No, I don't recall anything bad happening. No, it was just something really odd and something we couldn't explain. Like I said, for it to come past us, we would have had to see it, and for it to leave the bay, we would have had to seen it. And the fact it just stood there, had no sails up, looked like it was moored, we were just like, oh, okay. Like at first we were like, oh, it's just an older ship moored in there, but then when it vanished, we were just like, something's going on here.
Yeah, that's so cool. That is, I have 100 questions. I'm going to ask you them right after I hear about your second encounter.
Yeah, okay. So I'll just start with that one. So it was just after I left school. So I was in year 11. So I reckon it was about 98, around September 98. It was the school holidays because I remember my brother, he used to at school, but he come and worked with me and my father as well. So my father, he had quite a big job down in Clare in the Barossa Valley. And his dad was like a painter and decorator. So we went on there and it was quite a big property. It was a couple of K's out of Clare. I can't exactly remember how much. But there was a really big old farmhouse, big high roofs and a big ballroom type thing. And then there was a lot of little, like, farmer hand, like, quarters, like little cottages. So I think there's, like, three little cottages not too far from the main house. So our job was to paint the main house and also paint and redo all the cottages. So, so when we first moved there, like, we were staying in one of the cottages. We were there probably about 2 months. And like each morning we'd get up and there'd be, like, things would move. Like, let's say we'd put our boots and our work clothes down by, like, you know, in the bedroom down by the foot of the bed or something. And the next morning we'd get up, have breakfast, get dressed, and, you know, our work boots would be down the other side of the house or, like, down in the laundry or something, like, at the other side of the cottage or, you know, or, you know, we'd go make the bread and Dad's like, oh, where's the bread gone? And, you know, it'd be, you know, somewhere else and just odd things like that. And we didn't really think much of it because, you know, Dad and I used to play tricks on it and we thought, oh, yeah, you know, we're just playing another trick type thing. But, you know, it happened quite often, just little things throughout the time we stayed there. Anyway, this one day we're painting this cottage, the cottage that we're staying in, and it faced onto, like, quite a big dam. The dam, I'm guessing, would have been probably about 200 metres away. And we were around the back and we were painting the back of this cottage, and Dad said to me, can you go and get the such and such paint out of the car? The car was around the front. And I'm like, yeah, no worries, Dad. So I walked around there, walked around the side of the cottage, and as I looked up, I could see and I could also hear these two young children playing on a rope swing on the other side of the dam. And I sort of stopped and looked at them and I could hear them laughing and giggling and having a bit of a chat. And, you know, the girl was pushing this younger boy. I'm guessing the girl would have been about 10 or 12 years old. The boy, probably 8 to 10, I guess, on the swing. And I watched them and I'm like, okay. I didn't think there were sort of kids on this property. Anyway, I go to the car, I grab the paint out of the car, walk back around, just said to Dad, oh, I didn't know there was kids on the property. And Dad's like, oh, no, I don't think there is any kids. And I'm like, oh, there's a couple of kids playing on the swing over across from the other side of the dam. And Dad's like, oh, okay. So he's walked to the edge of the cottage and he's had a look. And Dad's like, oh, wow, so there is. Must be one of the farmhand kids or something. I'm not too sure. So didn't think much of it. We're just going back to work. So, you know, rest of the day we just worked away and just, you know, didn't really think too much of it. Anyway, around tea time, we're cooking tea and the owner of the property come around to see how we're going and just check up, just have a chat with Dad. So I was just sort of in there just listening and Dad said to him, oh, who's the children on the property? And the owner of the property said, oh, look, nah, there's no children on the property. There hasn't been any children on the property for a good 30 years. Dad's like, oh, no, we saw some kids playing on the swing over by the dam. And Dad's like, the owner's like, well, No, there's no kids on the property. There hasn't been any kids on the property in a long time. The only people on the property is the farmhand who takes care of the farm and that. He's in his 50s or whatever. He doesn't have any kids. Like, okay, yep, no worries. And then anyway, the owner, he sort of walked off, but he seemed just a little bit off, but that was fine. We didn't think, you know, we just went on with what we're doing. Anyway, about 3 days later, I reckon it was, the owner, he come back to check on how we're doing, have a bit of a chat with us and just see how we're getting along. But this time he bought 2 black and white photos with him. And he showed my father and myself these 2 photos, and they were the kids in the photo that we saw, this girl and a boy, and the girl was older than the boy, and we were just like, oh, wow, yeah, they're definitely the kids. And he said, yes, they were the 2 children that were on the property back in the late 50s, early 60s, and they both drowned in that dam. And, we looked at each other and we were blown away. We were blown away. And the property owner, he was like, yeah, ever since then there hasn't been any kids on the property. They were at the time there was a farmhand staying there and they were his children. And basically after the children died in the dam, they left and that was the second major sort of one that had happened with that. So it was very odd, very odd. And after that, with the things getting moved around in the cottage and that, we sort of like, oh, where's my boots? I'm like, oh, they're down, you know, the kids are, you know, playing tricks on us again type thing. But yeah, we finished up there a couple of weeks later, and yeah, we still talk about it, you know what I mean? Often talk about it when Dad was alive, and even me and my brother, we're like, I remember that time. And we're like, yeah. So.
Joseph, I have to let you in on a secret. And it's not really a secret. I think a lot of people know this, but this podcast essentially would not exist if it wasn't for the Flying Dutchman.
Oh, really?
Really, because my dad was he used to own a trawler, and he owned a trawler for a majority of my younger life. I think until I was like basically 18 years old. And I remember him telling me quite clearly one day that he saw the Flying Dutchman out at sea. And I don't know if you know this, but the Flying Dutchman is essentially an omen that something bad is potentially about to happen. And sure enough, something bad did happen to the boat. It nearly actually sunk. And ever since he told me that story, I've just had this incredible fascination with the weird and the unknown. And man, this story hits home because that is super, super creepy and so interesting that the Flying Dutchman showed itself to so many people. And, you know, I don't really know the logic of how the Flying Dutchman works. Like, who knows? There could have been some poor bugger out at sea and it was showing them that, hey, something bad's going to happen to you. But what an experience to share with your family that you all saw the Flying Dutchman at the same time. And now, a quick word from our sponsor.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
Yeah, we all saw it. There's 5 of us that saw it, and we were just like, oh, wow, like, did we just see, like, you know, we didn't see it vanish, but we looked back and it was gone. But this lady, Beryl, she saw it appear, and she was straight as an arrow, this lady. She, you know, didn't drink, you know, she was just like, yeah. But, yeah, it was quite mind-blowing. It's something I'd never forget, that's for sure.
What was the vibe from everyone when you were seeing this thing? Like, Did your other family members, like your dad and your uncle, or your dad and your grandpa, did they know it was the Flying Dutchman?
Well, that's what my grandfather nicknamed it. At the time, we just thought we were looking at an older ship that had come in moored without us knowing it. But, you know, we were just sitting out having a chat, having a cup of tea on the veranda there and, you know, watching the sea, watching the dolphins. And so when we saw it, we didn't really think too much of it. It wasn't until after it vanished and after we looked back and it was gone that we were just like, where'd it go? Like, hold on, what's happened there? And then my grandfather, he's like, oh, that's the Flying Dutchman, like, you know, and he was, you know. Then, yeah, he nicknamed it the Flying Dutchman. So, but I can't say anything bad happened, like, to us afterwards. So, you know, I don't know how it all works. And, you know, maybe it was like an imprint or I don't know. I'm really, yeah.
It's surreal. I think it's just the coolest encounter of all time because I can't believe that this podcast exists because of it and you got to see it. Yeah. And I am so immensely envious of you.
Yeah, well, you know, like at the time we didn't think too much of it, and then but it wasn't until we spoke to Beryl that we were like, oh wow, like there's someone else who was apart from us that actually seen it as well, and to go on to say that she's seen it a second time and that was the second time she'd seen it. And, you know, the thing is, it bugs me. It was like, it happened like, you know, 20 years ago, but it still is imprinted on my mind. And, you know, I wish back in the day I'd probably written it down and got more information, but you just don't really think of it until then, you know what I mean?
Well, that's it. And I mean, the weight of the situation doesn't really bear down on you when you're in it, I guess. And, you know, you were in no real danger or anything like that from this, you know, from this experience. And for you, it would have just been this absolute surreal moment in time, and you're sharing it with those closest to you. I don't blame you for not kind of jotting things down.
Yeah, well, it was just amazing because, yeah, like I said, it'd have to come past us to come into the bay and also sort of come out of the bay, and for us not to see it come and leave, and then for Beryl to say, yeah, it's appeared, then, you know, vanished. And I haven't really come across anyone else who's seen anything quite like that. But, you know, I've got a mate, he used to work on the trawlers out at Bass Strait. And he used to, I think he was the skipper, so he used to drive the ship. And he used to say they could see lights, so they'd think there was a ship coming towards them. So he'd check the radar, but there'd be nothing on the radar. But then he'd look out, and then the light would be gone. But then he would check the radar, and there'd be something on the other side in the radar, but he wouldn't be able to see the light or anything. And he goes, yeah, that was like, that stretch of water was very, like, a creepy. There used to be some really weird, weird stuff that would happen out there.
So what did the ship look like? Did it look like it was a ghostly ship, or did this just look like a normal ship, like solid, not transparent or anything like that?
It looked like a solid ship. It looked like an older ship, like with masts and sails. Like it had two, I remember, two very big main masts, I guess, from the middle of the ship to the front of the ship. But at the back, it had a smaller mast, but then it had like a little sort of one off the front. And then it was sleeker sort of design, like a sort of, it looked like it was sort of quite sleek, but still you could tell it was old. It had like it was sort of higher at the front, and then it sort of come down, dipped down a bit, but then at the back it sort of picked up again. It was quite a little bit higher at the back, so it looked like it had like a cabin or something on the back of it. Because it wasn't really misty, but there was a bit of mist and a little bit of rain. It was probably only 600 meters away. really. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a long way away.
Yeah, that's really close. That's close.
But it looked, it was solid. It was really solid. Like, you know, like the grandfather's pace, you're like right on the beach, so, you know, 50 meters and you're knee deep in water. So that's how close it was we were to the water. So then, you know, and this was out in the bay, so it does get quite deep in the bay. But yeah, it did look solid. I'm trying to think. I think it was like a whitish, maybe a whitish sort of colour. It was quite long ago. I can't quite remember, but I can just tell it sort of, it didn't look like a really old, you know, something like Captain Cook or something sailed out here, but it still looked old enough to go, well, I haven't seen a sailing ship like that. And even my grandfather said, I haven't seen a ship like this in years. I'm like, wow, that's an old one, you know, and what's it doing here type thing. But we just, yeah, at the time, we just thought, oh, okay, well, someone sailed in, they've come out of the rain, they're just waiting there till it passed. But
no, I think it's really cool. And I think it's such a great encounter to share with other people. So my hat's off to you for experiencing something quite so surreal. But that second encounter that you had with the ghost children, that really would have put the hairs up on your arms. Just
See, we didn't think much of it, but when we saw the photos, me and Dad just went, oh my god.
yeah exactly. When those photos come out, I would have just been like, what is going on?
They're blonde haired kids and they were in sort of, you know, a bit older sort of clothes, but you know, you're just like, oh yeah, just some kids down. But thing is, we were quite a way out of the main town, like, and like the property itself was quite a large property. So you know, for some kids to live, you know, they weren't like the neighbors' kids or anything, because the closest place would have been probably 2 or 3 k's away. So but yeah, it was quite eerie. And like when Dad did speak to the owner of the property and he mentioned it, like we could sort of see like just his body language. He was sort of like, he knew that there was something there, but he didn't sort of let on. And we sort of picked up on that, but we weren't really. But yeah, when he come back with the black and white photos of these two children, and like, you know, they weren't very far away at all. We could hear him laughing and giggling and pushing each other on the swing. And, like for him to rock up the photo, we were just like blown away. We were just like, oh, well. And then, you know, later on we're like, well, that's probably got to do why our boots are getting moved around, or you know, this is going missing and that sort of stuff. So we just and then when it happened, we're like, oh yeah, that's the kids playing tricks on us. That's just the kids playing. So, but you know, it was eerie. But you know, Dad and my grandfather, they used to always have strange things happen to them and that. And we used to always very quite open with that sort of stuff. They used to always sit around, tell each other stories, and you know, a couple of their mates would come around and have a bit of a chat, and you know, talk about ghosts and flying saucers and you know, weird sort of creatures and that sort of stuff. So you're sort of bored up just going, oh yeah, wow, you know.
What I find so fascinating about that encounter with the ghost children is that they kind of just hung around. It wasn't like a, you know, like a blink and you miss it type of encounter or anything like that. They hung around long enough for you to go get your dad and say, hey, come check out these kids swinging.
Yeah. Well, they would have been like 10 minutes at least, because by the time I walked there, I stopped there, looked at the kids, watched them for a minute or two. I'm like, okay, get the stuff out the car and then go back and see Dad. And then for Dad to walk up, you know, it would have been about 10 minutes. And then Dad's like, oh, yeah, so there is.
Do you wish you went up to the kids?
I don't know. Yes, I guess so. I never thought about it, but I guess so. But then again, like at that time, I didn't think much of it. But you know, You just didn't think much of them. Oh, yeah, Dad's, oh, yeah, it's probably just the farmhands' kids. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, cool. We've got a job to do. But, yeah, I guess I did. I went up to them. I just don't know what would have happened. You know, if they vanished in front of me, I would have been running back with Dad. Back going, let's go home. Let's get out of here. I'm not coming back.
Yeah, it would have been, you know? It would have been crazy to see what would have happened there because –
Yeah.
Did you see him again after you saw the photograph?
No, I never saw the kids again. No, like I said, we were finishing up on the job, so I think we had probably another 2 weeks to go roughly, maybe another 2 weeks. I think Dad went down there to do some touch-ups probably a month or two later, but he only stayed a night or two. But, yeah, no, I don't think we ever seen him again. And like we did still have things getting moved around and that, and we're just like, oh yeah, okay, well, but yeah, never saw them again. No, never really saw them again. I mean, we went back and there was fish in the dam, so when we'd knock off, we'd go fishing and catch some fish in the dam and that sort of stuff. And I'm trying to recall if I ever saw the rope swing there. When I walked around the other side, the dam, because we'd walk around the other side and fish off the other side of the dam, but I can't even recall if I seen a rope swing there after that. That's the odd thing, isn't it?
Makes you think what's going on there, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And for the owner to sort of like have a, you know, he must have known that there was something going on there for him to bring the photos back. Like he would have had to. You know, if he would have just passed it off, he wouldn't have done that. But for him to bring the photos back, he would have had to know that something's going on. That's, you know, that's what me and Dad both thought. Well, you know, he's probably seen him himself, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be a real head spin for him, you know, especially if he has seen them before and just couldn't really justify it. And, you know, who knows, maybe you seeing them with your father just really solidified his own encounter to go, yeah, nah, something's going on here.
Yeah, 100%. That's why I think, like, you know, when he come back and he was checking up the progress and then he's pulled out these photos and, you know, I was just like, and Dad's like, oh, my God. And like, I'd actually seen him, like, a lot longer than what Dad sort of, like, stood there, looked at the kids for a minute, and, oh, yeah, and whatever, where I've sort of, like, had a really good look at him. And, you know, the boy, I can remember, he's still, like, he was in shorts, like, brown shorts, and he was wearing, like, a lighter sort of beige, sort of, like, a collared sort of top with, like, what are those things, like, braces to hold his shorts up. And the girl, she was in a dress which was probably down past the knees. I reckon it was like a blue and white sort of dress which come down by her knees. And, you know, they're just swinging on that, like she was just pushing him on the swing and they're laughing. And, you know, we could hear him laughing and that, you know, and it's just like, oh, well, you know. And, you know, it sounded like they were having fun, you know. They looked like, you know, they were enjoying their time. You know, and it's just like, oh, okay, just a couple of kids having a bit of fun, you know.
And you know what? There could be worse ways to spend your eternity in the afterlife, but, you know, to be there with a, you know, potential sibling and just having the time of your life doing the thing that you love, I think that's amazing.
Yeah, well, I mean, if I saw the two kids drowning in the dam, screaming and that, I would have been freaked out. But yeah, like I think, you know, that's why we didn't think much of it. We're just like, oh yeah, cool, you know, must be the farmhand's kids, you know, like we've seen the farmhand, he goes around in his truck doing his rounds. Oh yeah, cool, he must have his wife and kids here, which wasn't true because there hadn't been any kids on the property for 30 years. So I've often wanted to go back there and have a look, you know, and try and get in contact with them. But just trying to remember, like, would love to go back to the property and have a look. It was a beautiful property, but yeah, probably just lost contact with them over the years and that sort of stuff. So I'm not even sure how I got in contact with them to get the job, to be honest.
Well, Joseph, it's been so cool talking to you. It's been a real treat for me to talk to someone who's seen the Flying Dutchman with their own eyes and got to experience it, because, like I said, this podcast honestly would not exist if it wasn't for my father seeing the Flying Dutchman and really sparking it.
Yeah, that's a creepy thing as well. But, yeah, for something bad to happen, well, I'm glad nothing bad happened to us. But, yeah. Did your father often say what it looked like? What he described it? Or
he basically described it almost word for word like you did. It was an out-of-time ship. Its sails were down for him too. The sails weren't, I guess, out. And it was just kind of moored in the deep sea and floated in and floated away in the mist. It was a very spare of the moment type of encounter.
Yeah. Oh. I can't say anything bad happened to me. So I don't know if something happened with Dad or Granddad, but I can say with me and my brother, nothing really bad happened to us. So. Fingers crossed. It's been a while.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Believe Paranormal and UFO podcast. If you have had an encounter and you would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. Finally, don't forget to follow us on all our social media outlets and be sure to join our Discord server to talk to other listeners of the show. You'll find all these links in our show notes. Thank you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.